above them. We love them. We're so thankful for them. Glad you're here this morning. Had a lot of folks call me. I had two or three families this morning call me, told me they were sick. They wasn't going to be here this morning. We've had sickness and with the little children, a couple of families this week, and we're thankful that some are getting better, and but we're just thankful, Lord, for the little children. You know, back home in Louisiana during the summer and late September, there's a rush around there, kind of like it is around here a few weeks ago. You know, back when we're around here and it starts to snow and we hear a snow day, what do? We run to the supermarket and buy milk and bread. Why? I have no earthly idea, but we do. We just go buy milk and bread. You can get in there, there's no milk on the shelf, there's no bread when there's a snowstorm the next day. Well, in Louisiana, it's a little different. We go to the store and we buy water and bread when the hurricane's coming. And you see, when the hurricane's coming, we buy a lot of canned goods because we've been told all our lives that if a bad hurricane comes, we're going to be without water, we're going to be without food, we're not going to have nothing to eat. And it's going to be hot. Now, I don't know if you've ever been down Louisiana during hurricane time, but it's hot. You would think, you know, it's bad enough that the hurricane comes through, but when you don't have the power, instead of being cold like you are here during the ice storm, it's like 95 and you can drink the air because it's just 100% humidity. So, all my life I was told, you know, the big hurricane's going to come back right when I was born. I was too little. Remember, it was Betsy that tore up New Orleans, 18 feet of water there. But we were always fearful that that storm was going to come. And I remember back in the 90s when I was working in Gonzales close to Baton Rouge, they had a storm come up. And this hurricane had a name like most hurricanes do. By the way, did you know that hurricanes have women names? For the most part, they did throw in a few men there, but it's mostly women. And the reason being is because they're unpredictable. Not that we're saying anything about women, but it's unpredictable. So, here this hurricane's coming into the Gulf. You know, when it hits the Gulf, it can hit anywhere. Nobody's safe. So, my mama lives in the bayou. My dad's done passed away, and she lives in the bayou. And I'm over here in Gonzales, which is up around Baton Rouge, and back where I used to live in Slidell. Well, the storm's coming around, and they finally, towards then, they say it's going to go to the bayou. So my mother, you know, being bright that she is, bless her heart, she says, Johnny, I'm going to come stay with you about 2 hours away. You're more inland. I don't have to worry about the storm hitting us bad there, you know, because it's going for the bayou. I said, okay, Mom, you come on. So she comes over, and within a few hours of the time she gets there, the hurricane, right, you know, as it's fixing to come on land, shifts and comes right over where I live at. And my mama's mad. She said, son, I don't know why it's like that. I said, well, it's going to be okay, Mama. And I'll never forget, you know, that storm, if you've never been in a hurricane, you know, there's a bad one like Katrina. You don't stay for Katrina because that one, you know, I mean, it's going to destroy all kinds of stuff. And but this was a hurricane, but it wasn't a terrible hurricane. And by the time it got to us, it was like 75-mile-an-hour wind. Now, for us around here, that's a big deal. But back in Louisiana, that's no big deal, you know. So, I'm in my house that night. I go to bed. You know, hurricane's passing over. I'm going to bed. Well, you know, I woke up a couple of times. My house was rocking a little. You could hear the wind blowing, you know, and everything. But, it, you know, it was a little bit scary. You know, that's how it is in life when we have hurricanes in our lives. Today in our text, we're going to be looking at a hurricane in the life of the disciples. And what we want to do this morning is we want to look at the crisis of a hurricane, the call of a hurricane, and the command of a hurricane that threatens our lives. And we want to look to the Lord because He is our answer in the midst of hurricanes. So let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank You as we come before You this morning, Lord. We can laugh about these things, Lord, but the reality is they're not funny. Lord, there are many folks sitting here today who, like the disciples on that day, were in the midst of a serious hurricane. And Lord, we need a touch from You this morning. We need a touch from Your Word. We need You to speak to our hearts. We need You to put courage in us, Lord. Father, we need You to calm the hurricane waves. And Father, we're looking to the only place we can go to, You. For You are our only answer and our only hope. And for some this morning, Lord, they've come to the place where they have no other hope but You. And Lord, we ask You to mightily stand and calm the waves. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to our text this morning, it's going to be in verses 22 through 25 that we read earlier. The first thing we want to see is we want to see the crisis of a hurricane. Notice in verse 22, it said, "Now on one of those days, Jesus and His disciples got into the boat, and He said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, He fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger." You see, the picture here is they're just floating along. Things are going good. Jesus is with them. And then Jesus goes asleep, kind of in the bottom of the boat, as we know from another text. And all of a sudden, you know, this fierce gale wind comes upon the sea. Matter of fact, the definition for gale means whirlwind or hurricane type waves, hurricane type wind. And it's swamp, and the water is coming over the little boat, and it's starting to fill up the boat. And the point of the matter is the disciples were in danger of losing their lives. And what we need to realize is that there are many folks, you know, that come to this text and they'll say, you know, Satan had brought this hurricane in because it came in so quick. Matter of fact, some of the commentaries deal with that as I study this thing. But the reality is God does allow Satan sometimes to bring hurricane waves in our lives. If you look at the book of Job, matter of fact, God is the one that's sovereign over all. Satan can only do what God allows him to. And what we fail to realize is a lot of times God is bringing it for a purpose, these hurricanes into our lives. Notice what He told Job. He said, "I told the sea how far to go and no more." In Jonah 1, He said in verse 4, "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up." And that's what you see as you look throughout Scripture, that Jesus Christ, the sovereign creator of the universe, is over each and every hurricane in our lives. And there's a purpose for that. Spurgeon once said, as he was reaching down, rubbing his ankle because he had gout and he was in terrible pain, he said, "If I did not believe that this pain was filtered through the hands of a loving Father, I could not bear it." You see, friends, God is in control. God is over all. Satan, this world, no one, including ourselves, we are all underneath the ruling hand of God. And all that we do, God has allowed it. God has, in some areas, ordained it for all good. And these hurricanes that the disciples were in, or this one in particular, was a very serious business. And there are many of us that are in this serious hurricane business right now. We look at some, even this week, as I talk to folks and as I deal with folks, you know, you look at marriage, there are many people separated, many people getting divorced today. It's a serious hurricane in their lives. They're struggling. You listen to a man this week as he shared with me that he lost his job for years now. He's been making six figures, but this week he found out he lost his job. Another man got passed up for a promotion this week. And he's suffering. A child was diagnosed with cancer this week. My next door neighbor this week in the hospital, he had cancer. They said he was in remission. They took some tests, found out yesterday his cancer is back in his lungs and now in his brain. Friends, let me tell you, those are hurricanes in people's lives, and they're real. It's as real as those waves that were coming over the boat that day in the disciples' lives as it filled up. And each and every one of us are there. Some are having greater hurricanes than others, but we all have them. And these hurricanes are there for a purpose. God has allowed them into our lives so that we will turn to Him and cry for help. We will turn to him in the midst of this hurricane and call for Jesus. Notice that's what he says in verse 24. It says, they came, speaking of the disciples, to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. You know, friends, at this time, when Luke uses this word, Master, Master, he uses it in a few other times in Luke. And every time it's the disciples not fully understanding who Jesus is. You know, they didn't understand that he was sovereign Lord of the universe. They wasn't, you know, they didn't understand his purposes yet on everything. But they knew this. He was the only one that could help them. And there, I imagine, they had been working, trying to shovel the water out of the boat, trying to, you know, paddle through the waves. And they've gotten to the point where they had no hope. And they turned around and woke up Jesus and asked him for help. You know, friends, that happens to all of us. You know, these hurricanes, they come in our life to drive us to Jesus. But a lot of times, folks, we look other places. And there are many others. They look to the world for help. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the world all the time in every sense of every person is being evil when they're trying to help. They're not. I mean, you go right now to a doctor and he's going to try to help you because that's what he does. You know, you go to someone for other help and they're going to try generally to help you. But the world cannot cure your problem. Only Jesus can. Dr. Henry Brandt, that some call the father of biblical counseling, he was the James Dobson before James Dobson, and he has a phrase on his book, Heart of the Problem. He wrote this, when you're tired of just coping with your struggles and want to find a cure, you're ready to face the problem with the heart. You see, that's the problem. The problem with us as human beings, the problem with the hurricanes in our life is our heart. Are we going to trust Jesus? Are we going to trust the only one who can help us in the midst of a trial? You know, so many times when you think when these hurricanes and these waves are coming over you, you know, we look for any little help. We look for any little place to go. You know, I mean, Listen, I'm not against going to Weight Watchers. There's nothing wrong with Weight Watchers. And, you know, they may help you lose some weight, but what are they going to do about your heart? You see, the problem we got into the situation, like with me, was not that I ate too much and that's all I did. It was a heart issue. You know, I was trying to find my comfort in pudding. Amen. Some of you make me mad. You know that. We go to the pizza place. You see me get that big old bucket of pudding. I'm trying to make myself feel better over there. You know, I get stressed. So what do? I turn, instead of turning to Jesus, I turn to food. That's what happens to us. You know, that's sometimes it's just a simple thing. You know, we don't exercise and we don't eat right. We put on weight. But most times it's a heart issue. It's a heart that's gravitating to something else, just like buying stuff. You know what I'm talking about, huh? Some people, they get stressed out. They got stuff going on. Well, how they handle it, they don't eat like Brother Johnny. They go to the store and buy something. You know, and they'll go and spend all kind of money. You say, how in the world are you spending? Why are you spending this money? And it's because they're trying to turn to something else besides the Lord for their comfort. Some people turn to TV. You know, they had a bad day, they had a rough day, they come home, they just want to get in front of TV, check out, and that's what they're gravitating to for their joy and for their hope. Friends, God wants us to turn to Him. God wants us to let Him be our hero. You know, we talk about real hurricanes. Katrina was rough. I was reading a story recently about Reverend Jones, a Methodist preacher from Mississippi. And his daughter had called him from Atlanta and said, look, why don't you come and stay with us during this Katrina? He said, well, it's going to hit Louisiana. He said, and it's not going to be that bad. Well, what happened was towards the end, it kind of shifted over and it caught Louisiana, but the bulk of it hit Mississippi. And by the time he realized how bad it was going to be, the banks were closed and he wasn't able to get any money to get out of town. So he wound up, him and his lovely wife went down to the shelter and they rode out the storm. But the next day, they let them go back to the house shortly, just for a few moments, to try to gather whatever they could. And they had about a knee-high water in their house. And as he walked around, he saw stuff floating around. And, you know, he said, my heart was just broken. He said, but, you know, I saw some pictures of my dad and I saw some pictures of my family. So I just, you know, reached them up and grabbed them and dried them off best as I could, just put them in my arms. And I walked out of there. He said, that's all I have from my house. He said, I didn't have any money, couldn't get to the banks. The banks were shut down. He said, there was no way for me to get any help. He said, I couldn't even buy food. And he got back to the shelter and he started to pull out his daddy's pictures to lay them out so that they could dry. And when he pulled out the frame, they had $340 in the frame. Now listen to this. This is what was interesting. That his dad died at an early age, his early age. And it was in 1942 this picture was taken and framed and was at his mother's house. For all those years, some 60 years almost, the money was there. But God revealed it when he needed it. Friends, that's the God we serve. Sometimes we're like that woman, as you remember from Genesis, who was cast out by Sarah, Hagar, and her son, you know, and she goes out there and she tosses the child underneath the tree, and she goes over on the side, and she's just, you know, ready to die because she has no water. And God says, hey, look up. There's the water. You know, friends, we're like that a lot of times. We can't see. I don't know if you've ever been on the water when it gets bad, but you can't see everything. Sometimes you're high and sometimes you're low. Sometimes the waves are you just can't see. And that's how it is. You're overwhelmed when you're in the midst of a hurricane. But God says to you, he's there with you. God says, if you call upon me, I will help you. God says to us that he loves us. And you know, it's not just in the massive hurricanes. He's there all the time. Last night I had a brother call me. He had lost his passport for an upcoming trip to Costa Rica. And he called me and said, Brother Johnny, I can't find my passport. It was over here. We always put it here, and it's not here. And we done looked all over the place, and we can't find it. And, man, he was tore up. And I said, well, brother, I said, let's pray. And then, you know, if you don't find it by tomorrow morning, we'll ask the church to pray for you. And we prayed, and about 10, 15 minutes later, he called me back and said, we found the passports. And we were rejoicing. And you say, Brother Johnny, is that really a hurricane? It was to him. And we got hurricanes like that every day, but we got to turn to the Lord. That's what the disciples did. When they were in the midst of that storm, they turned to the Lord. They said, Lord, we need help. Friends, I want you to know that's God's purposes for hurricanes in our lives. He wants to draw us to us. He wants us to call on us so that he can command the wind to calm. Notice in verse 24, said they came to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped and it became calm. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus is God. And he's the sovereign creator of the universe. Colossians 1 says it this way in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. So when Jesus calls out to the hurricane, be still. Friends, the reason why the hurricane listens is because Jesus is sovereign Lord of the universe. And when Jesus calls out to the hurricanes in all lives, they're going to listen. Why? Because Jesus is sovereign. And you know, that should bring us great encouragement. You know, we think of our president of the United States as the most powerful man in the world. But you know what? He's not perfectly powerful. You know, we think of Superman, you know, he can do everything, but he's got a weakness, kryptonite. You know what? All Lord has unlimited power. No weakness and unlimited love for His children. Friends, when you think about that, that the sovereign Lord of the universe loves us and He has all power and authority in His hand, that should encourage us. That should bring us to the place where we are encouraged to be the children of God, because we know He is always ready for us. But you know what? We're like the disciples. You know the story. You read the story this morning. You heard Jeff read it. We're just like them. You know, I read them. I go, boy, y'all boys are a bunch of dummies. I can't believe it. You know, they go, wow, Jesus stopped the wind. Wow. Well, He just raised a guy from the dead last week. You know, He's healing people all over the place. But what do they do when He stops the wind? They go, wow. Well, what do we do? You know, when God answers all prayer, like last night, the brother goes, man, the Lord answered all prayer. Well, of course He's going to answer all prayer. Where are His children? Why in the world would He not answer all prayer? Now, He might not answer when we want it, but He's going to answer all prayers, and He's going to take care of this situation. And He's going to take care of our heart if we look to Him in the midst of the situation. But that's our problem as believers. You see, we get to this place, and this is where it's really a struggle. We know God has the power. What we question is, does God love us unlimited? You may be here this morning and you don't really have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never really came to the place where you trusted Him wholeheartedly with all that you are. And it's evident in your life. You know it. The person you're married to knows it. God knows it. And you don't recognize, or maybe you do, that you're in the midst of a hurricane and the waves of sin are flowing over your head and you're doing everything you can to try to save yourself. You've been paddling. You've been struggling. You've been dumping the water out the bucket of life. You've been doing everything you can to save yourself, but it ain't working. The truth of the matter is, you're more miserable today than you've ever been in your entire life. But God says to you this morning, in the midst of that hurricane, in the midst of your sin, in the midst of going down, God says to you this morning, look to Me and be saved. Look to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Listen, there are a lot of folks, they're dying. They may be in a hospital and they're dying. And I'll hear their family members say, I hate to see them suffering. I wish they'd go on and die. Friends, let me tell you something. You die without Christ, it's not a better life. You're suffering in this life and you die without Christ, and you go into the next life, that suffering never ends. And God says to you today that if you're in the midst of that hurricane, you may go down for that last time. And you've been playing the odds, and friends, you don't want to play with God. God says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear My word, repent and believe. Turn and look to the Lord Jesus. Turn and look to the cross. Turn and look and see what Jesus has done for you. Oh, friends, He died for sinners. He died and perished upon that cross to save sinners who are in a hurricane of their sin. Are you willing to turn to Christ today? The only need that God has from you, the only thing, and it's not a need from God, it's the only thing He wants from you. is for you to call. Friends, listen. He don't want you to bucket the water out. He don't want you to try to paddle through the storm. He don't want you to try to make yourself right with Him. He wants you to cry out, Lord, help me. Just like Peter did when he was in the water. He cried out, Lord, help me. He didn't try to offer God anything. He just cried out for help. Will you cry out for help this morning? Will you ask the Lord to save you from your sin this morning by repenting of your sin and believing that Christ did it all? But you know, friends, we're a lot like Peter, aren't we? For those of us who are saved. You know, we're walking with the Lord. We're doing real good. You know, may not be walking on top of the water, but we're walking with the Lord. And then what happens? We take our eyes off of Jesus and we start to sink. And what does Peter do? He cries out, Lord, help me. That's what the Lord wants you to do this morning. The Lord wants you to take whatever hurricane you're in this morning and look to Him. He wants you to come to the place where you look to Him because He wants you to understand and He wants me to understand that no matter how big the waves are, no matter how overwhelming they are, no matter how high they are, no matter how great your obstacle is today, how great your hurricane is today, how great all these things are in your life today, Jesus wants you to know that they're under His feet. You see, what we call hurricanes, God says, they're under my feet. Johnny, will you bring it to me today? Will you bring your problems to me today? And I'll take care of them. Will you call upon me today, believer, and let the Lord calm the storm in your life? You know, I like to tell you that I do it perfectly, but I don't. That's why we need brothers and sisters. We need brothers and sisters to encourage us of the Lord's faithfulness and goodness. Wednesday night, I shared with the congregation because I was just broken. I was in my study Wednesday, and I was preparing for Wednesday night, my final preparation. And I just have to be honest with you. I don't know if this ever happened in my life since I've been a Christian. But I was talking to the Lord about this person I've been ministering to. And I came to the conclusion in my resources. And I said, the Lord ain't going to save this person. Never been there. Had a sister homeless for 30 years. Prayed for her every day. Always believed the Lord would save her. And He did. But this person, I said, this person's heard the gospel thousands of times. And they haven't responded. They don't see their need for Christ. So they're going to die and go to hell. And it grieved me. Because I came to the point where I, just in that moment, I didn't believe the Lord would save them. And I came in Wednesday night and I shared with the congregation. I asked them to pray for me. And listen, my brothers and sisters pour out their heart for me. And before I left that night, the Lord had encouraged me. And the Lord had gave me hope. And the Lord had put back courage in me. That I was looking forward to sharing Christ with this person. Haven't had the opportunity yet, but the time will come. And friends, I want you to know something. We all need that. We need to look to the Lord. But as God's people, we're to look to the Lord together. To come alongside that person that's in that hurricane. If you know somebody in a hurricane today, they're a believer, and you know they're in a hurricane today, pray for them. Love them. Give them a word from the Lord. Encourage them today. Even before we leave today. If you know it in your heart, during that hurricane storm, walk up, put your loving arms around them and say, the Lord loves you. He's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And I'm going to pray for you. Do that today for the Lord's glory, for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ. As we pray in a moment, pray for that person. If you're here and you're lost today, this is your moment to cry out to Christ. Join me in prayer, please.